Hello, everyone. This is Edgar T.S. Foster welcoming you to the pilot episode of the Water Solutions Network podcast. This is an effort put together by Water Solutions Network members, and we're just trying to have water conversations and get to know each other a little better. For this pilot episode, we have Anatole Falagan. He is the Assistant General Manager for the Long Beach Water Department, where he has been employed since 2005. And he previously served 16 years at the different key positions with the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, which is the world's largest water supply agency. We have Mr. Falagan here to talk about his views of the challenges in the water sector in his community and his line of work, and a broader view of how the water in California is being challenged. So I want to welcome Anatole.
Hi, Edgar.
Thanks for being here. So let me start by asking you, what do you face as challenges in your line of work as they relate to water?
Well, right now in our city, what I'm trying to bring forward is a perspective on things that we might be facing here in the near future and in the long-term future for the residents. My water department is serving the city, so I have that focus. But we also are a member of the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. And because Long Beach is a member, we're also keenly focused on the statewide issues affecting the aqueduct systems, for example. So some of the things that I've been talking to the community have begun to focus on these issues of sustainability, resiliency, something that I try to introduce to the residents, and I call it the power of the word and. And increasingly, we are becoming more focused also on issues of affordability going forward for the community. And I think those are relevant to all of Southern California in general as well.
So when you look at the water system in California, we know it's all related, and you just mentioned how your community, although you are focused on the community of Long Beach, you have to be attuned to all the things happening in the state, probably also to some things happening at the federal level. In that sense, how do you see Long Beach connecting to the larger water system in California? You are basically downstream from everyone because you are next to the beach, right? What is the challenges that you share, and how does your community fit within that larger water system?
Well, for us, you're correct. We are downstream, and that has many definitions that go along with it, with the word downstream. We are a coastal city, so we're downstream in the watershed. We underlie a very plentiful groundwater basin, so we pump. We have legal rights to pump, so we're ahead of the curve on the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. Our groundwater basin already went through all those challenges and created legal rights back in the 1950s. Being at the downstream of the watershed also means that sewage treatment systems are in place that generate a lot of recycled water, and we have access to that recycled water. And that's an important supply source for us as well. And then being in Southern California, we are downstream of the major aqueduct system, the State Water Project and the Colorado River Aqueduct. And so those two systems bring water for the Metropolitan Water District. And we're at the downstream end of those aqueduct systems, which means that our residents, in terms of costs, they're paying the substantial portion of all of those systems that were created to deliver water here.
So that creates a lot of benefits. Being downstream creates a lot of benefits, as you mentioned. You have access to all these recycled water, all this, that helps a lot with things that we talk about, like resiliency and sustainability. It also comes with other challenges, like having to share the system with upstream, not only directly on your watershed, but also on the larger California water system. You mentioned you share the State Water Project with people in Northern California. You also share the Colorado River water through the aqueduct with not only people in other parts of California, but also basically with people in other states. In that sense, what is the city of Long Beach doing to contribute to that, to help those other people that you share your system with become more sustainable, more resilient, more part of the system, not isolated pieces of it?
Well, I think, you know, the challenges and then the opportunities for us have much to do with those elements of sustainability and resiliency. If I talk about sustainability, one of the things that we've been trying to stress to residents and in other communities that I speak to is sustainability itself is a word that has many meanings. People hear the word tossed around in so many different venues, whether it's farming, whether it's building. What I try to share with the community is I try to give them a very simple approach with water. And I tell them that sustainability is something that I say, on average, I could do this every day. And I try to introduce to them the concept of sustainability in that manner. Recently, in discussions with the community, we talk a little bit about the substantial achievements that both the city and the region in Southern California have made in terms of water conservation. All across Southern California, and if I focus on Long Beach in particular, we find ourselves with substantial reduction in water use, even though our population as an urban coastal city has been stable to slightly growing over time since the 1990s. And in fact, our water use today in Long Beach is roughly the same amount of water we were using at the beginning of the 1960s for roughly 40% more population. So that's an incredible achievement. And many communities in Southern California have already experienced some element of that trend in one way or another. For growth in population, they're using water at a much lower rate. In fact, using water that is comparable to the water they were using decades ago. So what to make of that effort? And when you think about it, what you're doing when you're making those efforts is that the local supplies that are available in Southern California, they get stretched in a positive way. They're able to supply more and more need because the water use has come down. And I tell the community in that sense that when we stretch our local supplies as the result of our water conservation, our more efficient water use, we're doing that in a way that we could be doing this every day on average. And so in that way, water conservation efforts is a way to increase our sustainability here in Southern California. And that connects people's experience with what they're doing with this topic of sustainability in terms of water use.
Thank you for sharing that, Anatole. We're going to break a little bit of the conversation right here, and we're going to come back with a little bit of sustainability and other topics that we mentioned, like resiliency. So we'll be back. We're back, and as promised, we are going to be touching on more subjects in this conversation with Anatole. I just want to bring back the concept of sustainability that he was talking in the previous segment. And what's the role when you are talking about your system in your community? What's the role of sustainability in your planning, in your line of work when you are in the office doing your day-to-day?
Well, that's a good question. So we were talking about sustainability, and I was saying that, you know, when I tried to express to the community what to take away from this word when it comes to water, I tell them sustainability is, on average, I could do this every day. And I reinforce to them the water conservation, the water use efficiency that they've been doing since the 1990s has been a tremendous benefit to the region. And one of the things that I express to them then is I say, in many ways, we're entering a new phase for our state and for our communities when it comes to water. And I explained to them that in many ways, I don't like the word conservation. And in fact, in my presentations, to make a humorous point, I take the word water conservation and I cross the word conservation out. That usually gets a chuckle and a laughter from the audience. I try to explain to them that conservation in our previous times had a certain significance for us that was historical. And we were reacting to a history of drought cycles and rain. And whenever drought came, people would urge us to conserve water. And everybody would try to do their part and conserve water. But they did that with a certain belief that in the end, they would simply stop what they were doing and they would go back to using water the way they were before. So this aspect of conservation had a certain meaning to people that was the belief that, well, I know this is going to end, I'm just going to move on. And what I share with people all within this context of sustainability is that going forward, I don't want them to think of water conservation. I want them to think about water use as a lifestyle. And so in Long Beach, we make a significant effort both in our advertisement, in our messaging and communications, that for us as a community, we believe that water should be used a particular way. And that it's a very nice lifestyle, that everybody can enjoy it. And at the same time, it uses less water. And that it's such a nice lifestyle that going forward over time, as a lifestyle, it's sustainable. I could do this every day on average. And so that revolves back again into the issue of sustainability. I also reinforce to them that the region itself deals with other aspects. Agencies like the Metropolitan Water District, they have their own programs on sustainability. They're making efforts on their aqueduct systems to make them more sustainable. We all, as members in Southern California, when we pay our water bills to the Metropolitan Water District, the Metropolitan Water District gives money back to the member agencies for these water use programs, these water conservation programs, turf replacement programs, rebates for dishwashers, rebates for washing machines. The money comes back for us to engage in these programs. And so that is a little bit more on the sustainability. I usually transition and talk to the public then and share with them that resiliency is something different. And resiliency in this era of climate change and sea level rise and so forth, it has certain aspects embedded within it as well. But for water, when I talk to people, I try to remind them that different than sustainability, if sustainability means that on average I could do this every day, resiliency in a way is today is not average, but I know I can bounce back. And I reinforce that to the community about this aspect of bouncing back is a measure of resiliency. And if we take that analogy, obviously, if it's harder for me to bounce back, then that's not very resilient. So situations that allow it or make it easier for me to bounce back, we would say are more resilient. And talking to the community then and explaining to them, we talk about our most recent effort, which was the completion of a 30-year water resources plan for the city of Long Beach. And this water resources plan has a path for us to develop more water resources that are under more local control, and it provides benefits to the community. I start out and I explain to them that one of the important aspects of this conservation effort we were talking about before, this water use lifestyle, is that we believe that for the next 30 years, even with small increases in water population, our water use will remain flat. We actually don't anticipate maybe a little modest increase because of climate change and increasing heat and increasing temperatures. We anticipate a little growth in water demand, but not much. So that's the good side of it. What we also plan to do in the next 30 years is dramatically increase the amount of groundwater that we can pump. Now, in order to do that, we need additional supply. So for us, we're trying to take advantage of recycled water opportunities where, to assure the public, we treat the water to an even higher degree. I tell the people it's basically distilled water, the kind that you might buy at the supermarket. It's so clean that it doesn't have anything in it. We make it that clean so that we can inject it into the ground. And when we inject all of those large quantities of water into the ground, we can then turn around and pump it. And when we do that, then we take less imported water from the aqueduct systems. Those aqueduct systems are big infrastructure projects. They have their own environmental stresses in the Delta, in the Sacramento-San Joaquin River Delta. They have their stresses in the Colorado River watershed. And that's where I explain to the audience and I tell them, you know, in that sense, when we rely on those systems less, when those systems face the stresses of climate change and the uncertainty and the risk that comes from year to year due to changes in sea level and climate and so forth, we rely on them less, which means that when they fluctuate, we don't have to depend on them. And that's an increase in resiliency. So for us as a community over the next 30 years, growing our groundwater supplies is a way of making our community more resilient against some of these issues affecting us.
That's very interesting. And you touch on points that I think should be in everybody's mind. We're more likely to see less average days than we are used to, right? Now, there's challenges that come with being self-reliant. Some of those challenges include water quality. How are you dealing with, in your resiliency portfolio, if I can call it that way, or your resiliency plan, how are you dealing with the unknowns? Now, everyone's talking about PFAS. Next year could be PFAS or whatever other compound
right. That
we don't know yet. How does that play into your plan?
Well, that's an aspect of monitoring and making sure that we're preparing ourselves for changes that could occur. It's an unknown. So in that sense, I can't predict the changes I will have to make. I do know that if I believe that local supply and local groundwater here under my feet is a more sustainable, more resilient strategy, that means that I also have to be very active in the groundwater basin with other agencies to be monitoring water quality, to be aware of trends or paths in water quality development, things that we call, sorry to dive into the weeds, we call constituents of emerging concern, CECs. We need to be mindful of all those because those might affect the treatment that we might need. In Long Beach, I have to say, different than other communities in California, in Long Beach, we're blessed because our groundwater wells all go to a central treatment plant. We don't have multiple well points and multiple treatment points. One giant treatment plant treats all the groundwater. That makes it very effective for us because as we strategize anything that might change in water quality, we have a centralized point to put in treatment systems to take care of it. But to the question that you asked me, it means that we always, as communities, need to be mindful of water quality in the ground and be mindful of what might lie ahead in terms of changes that we have to make, projects that we have to undertake, We do that because we believe that the groundwater is more sustainable as a resource than depending on the imported water.
Thank you, Anatole. We're going to take a break and we'll come back with another very interesting topic, which is equity. So hold on there, and then we'll be back. We're back. We're here with Anatole Falagan. He's the Assistant General Manager at Long Beach Water. And we've been discussing some topics about the community in Long Beach and how the water systems work and are being planned to work for the next 30 years, 50 years, maybe more. We've already talked about sustainability. We've already talked about resiliency. And one thing that caught my attention in your presentation earlier was the word "and." And you seem to be wanting to talk about the word "and" in water. How does that play in water? So,
well, it's something that I try to do with the public when I'm explaining to them. You know, we talked about sustainability. I tell them sustainability is something on average I could do this every day. When it comes to resiliency, I tell them this is because, well, today is not average, but I know I can bounce back. And in doing that, I'm communicating to the public what our city has been doing in terms of a plan for up to 30 years of different projects, conservation efforts, and things that we need to do. And then I share with the audience, I shall share with them what I call the power of the word "and." And I explain to them that, you know, in our daily lives, we're constantly offered binary choices. We're constantly offered the word "or." And there's the reason for that, is because "or" is a much simpler way to choose things. We like it. You know, we are offered one or the other. We just have to pick one and focus on that. It gives you a certain peace of mind. I tell the audience that for us as a community, as a region, dealing with these issues of water, whether it's conservation, groundwater, recycled water, the imported water systems, the challenge for us is the word "and." That we need to do and continue our efforts in water use efficiency, and we need to do these projects and recycle water and groundwater, and we need to focus on making sure that the aqueduct systems and their environments are sustainable and resilient. And when we say and have to do all of these, well, that represents a very big challenge. It's not easy to do all those things. It takes a combined effort. And it also takes an effort where we do things locally, but we also have to be mindful and think of things regionally. And in some cases, like the Colorado River Aqueduct, much bigger regions, like the entire Western United States. So that's a big challenge. And in doing so, I hope that the public then gets a sense of how difficult it is, because one of the easiest things we could do is just simply focus on water conservation or just make sure that recycled water is okay. Unfortunately, we don't have the ability to go forward in time with that narrow a focus. Which brings up a different topic. And I share this with the community as well. I think as water agencies, we're beginning to face a growing concern over equity and affordability that comes about from having this broad perspective on things that need to be done. Everything that I've discussed with you here today costs money, whether it's the money you put into conservation programs with rebates and things that you do for the community, whether it's groundwater projects, recycled water projects. even the big discussion topics of the day in the state that have to do with the aqueduct systems and big projects that are done there, all of those in the end cost money. And for many communities in Southern California, even neighborhoods in our own city, they are facing issues of affordability. Through median household income or even poverty level measurements of income, growing pressures on water rates because all these projects need to get done eventually bring about this issue of how affordable is the water? How affordable is it in the sense of the water bill that comes every month? And does it cause stress in households across the state as they seek to deal with it?
Which it also brings another complication to it, and that's the fact that a lot of these households that face affordability problems, they also tend to not rely on their tap water for consumption. They use it for cleaning, they use it for, but many of these households in disadvantaged communities don't trust the tap water for consumption, which exacerbates the issue of affordability. One key challenge that we as water professionals have is how do we communicate with these disadvantaged communities? How do we make them trust that the water they're being served is indeed safe to drink, is safe to use, and they don't have to rely on these more expensive sources of drinking water?
I think it's an important issue. In Southern California, and California as a state, we have many communities, residents who culturally are affiliated with other parts of the world. In many cases, those other parts of the world, for any number of reasons, don't have water systems of the complexity or quality that exist here. And so it is a difficulty. We have in California and in the United States a primary concern to make sure that our drinking water systems guarantee a certain level of public health. They're mandated by law to deliver quality as a protector of public health. But to your point, many communities culturally don't have the background to recognize that. And in fact, they have a mistrust of it. In doing so, we have this compounding issue where we may be charging a certain rate for potable water in a household. And at the same time, that household is dedicated to finding alternate sources of use because they don't trust the water in the tap. They use more bottled water for uses that could easily be used by tap water, cooking as a primary example. And I think to date, water agencies have done a good job of communicating at the most basic level, but they haven't made an effort to go above and beyond. And I think these issues of equity and affordability down the road will perhaps make that a more important issue. You will find, I think, that if your water bill is going up at a certain rate, and as a household that starts to cause you stress, you're already spending a certain amount, if you don't trust it, on bottled water and so forth, and the lack of assurances of that quality perhaps only make the stress even higher because you're still going out and buying bottled water, and its own respective prices might be going up. If you somehow reinforced this aspect of the quality of the tap water is safe, then maybe the bill could begin to be viewed as, well, I know that I have to pay this, but I also don't have to buy the bottled water. And so I save myself money in my home for that reason. Those are important issues that I think they will become more and more important for us water providers down the road.
This is a fascinating topic. I know we can spend hours talking about equity. For now, we're gonna take a break and we'll be back. And we're back. We're here with Anatol Faligan, the assistant general manager for Long Beach Water. So we discussed a lot of things today. We talked about sustainability, resiliency, equity, the power of the word, and these are big topics. And again, we can be talking about these things for hours or days. Unfortunately, we don't have that time. I just want to ask you, Anatol, if you have any conclusive thoughts or things that you would like to express that people need to take home and reflect.
I think in California as a state, we have a diversity of communities and a diversity of issues. I know that in other parts of the state, any number of issues beyond what we talked about today are incredibly important. I know the wide variety of issues in the Central Valley, both in terms of water supply, but also water quality and access to clean drinking water. There are so many different dimensions to that that dominate that. For me, I was glad to be able to share today what I think for us as an urban city in Southern California and as a member of the large urban area of Southern California, I do think that these aspects of sustainability, resiliency, the fact that we have to do many things at the same time, we don't choose to just be able to do only one. And then what happens down the road when we want to make sure that all communities benefit from this in a way that doesn't cause issues of affordability. So we want equity, but in an affordable manner so that all communities benefit. In many ways, there are many urban communities across the state that are facing similar issues. And I think that's something good for the Water Solutions Network. We have a wide variety of members and now alumni in different cohorts. And if we have a chance to share experiences through this podcast, everybody can benefit and everybody can get to learn about many different perspectives and many different experiences in California today. I think that's the power of our network. So I'm looking forward to more people spending time here on the podcast.
Thank you, Anatol. This is incredibly exciting. And this is an adventure that it's been on the books and in the back burner for some time. And now that we're actually getting it to a reality, it's very exciting.
It is. It's incredibly exciting.
So I want to thank the Water Solutions Network for this opportunity. Of course, Anatol, for taking the time, for sharing all these thoughts, and for giving us some food for thought. And we want to thank also to UC Riverside for allowing us to use their facilities to record this pilot episode. And if you have comments, if you want to communicate with us, you can always look for the Water Solution Network social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can also send me an email to edgar.tsfoster@ucr.edu. We'll be very happy to hear what you have to say to us. If you have more ideas for this podcast, if you would like to participate, this is open to all members of the network and again is intended for everyone to communicate with each other and get to know each other a little bit more. So thank you, and hopefully you enjoy this pilot episode, and we'll listen to each other soon.